Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the smart one. It's good to have you back with us. Continue to be with us. Thank you for that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Look at what you, that's what you got to look forward to. You're going to get really smart, especially now that Rob Jolish is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Rob is one of our top Brain Trust members and been with us a long time. He's one of the salesmanship experts in our Brain Trust, and he helps us put our best foot forward when we're talking to customers and audiences, making speeches, that kind of thing. He's the author of The Way of the Road Warrior, also Customer-Centered Selling, and also How to Run Seminars and Workshops. He's our good friend. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I actually thought I was getting my intro when you played that smart buffer.
I am so smart. until the misspelling part, and then you said, hey, wait a minute, that must be blessing.
Yeah, man. That brings them back to earth, doesn't it?
That's right. So how's it going?
It's going well. You know, it's interesting. You bring up those the books, so we can go in one of three directions today, and I thought we'd go towards the presentation side.
Well, I like that, especially if we can talk about it from the standpoint of delivering proposals, because I think presenting proposals, I think that's a very important thing that a lot of people need help with. You know, when I was coming up, you and I are old Xeroids. We both worked for Xerox, and we trained a lot of folks, and we're trained by some of the best. I worry that there's not that much of that. The kind of training that I got in the 60s and 70s, from the companies I worked for, and that you got in the 70s and 80s, I worry that that kind of training is not being done as much as it was in those days. What do you think, Rob?
Well, yeah, I think that one of the problems, and it keeps coming back to the same thing, is that we push product so much. It's product and information and product and information that we really kind of lose the idea of, well, I thought our job was to win the room. I thought our job was to create trust. You know, even the word pitch, I've got companies say, well, we're working on this pitch, or we want you to help us with the pitch. It's almost a four-letter word to me.
Right. Or spiel. I hate it when somebody uses that word, spiel.
Well, yeah, that means I'm going to talk a whole lot, and you sit back and listen, and if you
I'm going to try to manipulate you.
Right, right.
Yeah. But that's not the way it's supposed to be done.
No, actually it isn't. I thought today, you know, I can spend a day, 2 days, sometimes I spend a week on helping people with their presentations. I thought we'd just kind of hone
Let's spend a week this half hour. What do you think?
Okay. We'll spend a week because right before I release them to give their presentations, I say, let's just go over a few tricks of the trade, a few final last-minute touches that put some polish on these things and basically get some things to avoid. And can I give you the number one piece? And I'll give you 10 others if you want, but I don't think the other 9 will equal this one.
Well, should we give them the good one first?
Oh, we've got commercials?
No, go ahead.
Let's give them the good one first.
All right.
The first one to me is avoid too much material. Jim, you started by saying we're using presentations and proposals, and I absolutely agree. We're basically using presentations to sell these days. Well, again, is our goal to overwhelm the client with information, or is our goal at the end of the presentation for the client to say, well, I don't know if I'm an expert on the topic I just heard, but I want to do business with Jim Blasingame.
Right.
I want Rob Jolish to be my consultant.
Right.
And so often we're so obsessed with, I'm going to put this in, I'm going to put that in, that we forget, what about the interaction? What about the questions? What about the creative touches to the presentation?
What about what the customer told you they wanted?
Exactly. The benefits to the customer. Not all the features and the information that you've been obsessing on, but just the benefits, the specific value to the client.
You could walk in with an encyclopedia of stuff, but if you qualified the customer properly, or your audience properly, especially if it's a sales presentation, if you qualified them properly, you could, you know, the best way to do is to walk in and say, okay, folks, this is what you told us you wanted. This is how we propose to do it. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We know we can do this, and we can do it within the time frame that you've asked. And what do you think? I mean, they might say yes without having to see all the other stuff.
Absolutely. Look, it was either me or Einstein, and I think it was Einstein who said, imagination is more important than knowledge. That's a fairly credible source.
Say that again.
Imagination is more important than knowledge. Albert Einstein.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So again, are we there to overwhelm them with our big brains, or are we there to create trust and interest in what it is what we do?
Right. Rob, hold on to that thought. We're going to get Rob to help us answer that question right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 20 till. Whatever you do, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out D.C., but I've changed my way. It'll take time, I know it.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure as always. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget to check out our blog as well. It's also there. And also thousands and thousands of articles and archives and hundreds of Brain Trust members. Lots of good stuff there. Rob Jolles is our guest. Rob, you got a website too, don't you?
Yep. JOLLES.com, www.JOLLES.com.
Check it out. And also they can find your books there, can't they?
Yes. And but you can find them at the bookstores. And
wherever
like
books are sold. The Way of the Road Warriors is the new one, right?
Actually, I've got one even newer, that Mental Agility book. It's kind of a field book for the sales book that I've written.
I forgot about that. Yep, that's the one. Now tell us the title of that again.
It's called Mental Agility, The Path to Persuasion. And what it really does is, it's funny, I had Simon & Schuster barking at me, telling me to write a new sales book. And Jim, the frustration was, as I told him, I really haven't changed my mind. I still think we have to sell this way. But that's I put a book together that really helps implement a little bit better. And it provides about 50, 55 small group exercises, individual exercises, so that somebody can actually practice and rehearse the process.
Some things don't change. And if it's fundamental, like selling.
Right.
But, you know, Rob, there have been some things that have changed in terms of getting our message across to customers. The way they want us to talk to them, the way they want us to reach out to them, the way they want us to serve them, those things have changed since you and I were carrying a briefcase for Xerox.
That's true. They're a lot more intelligent. I mean, I think our clients were smart, Jim, but we have practically created a society of professional buyers.
And, well, and it's so because you and I were their internet in those days, Rob.
Yeah.
When we called on customers, we were their internet. We brought them information about our industry that they didn't have. Today, they can get that information before we get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was an insurance agent, we used to walk out there with a little rate book. And I was taught which restaurant to go to so that when we worked out the rates, we could write on the paper placemats and get it all taken care of. That's changed just a wee bit.
Just a little bit. So we're making these presentations. And the issue is, to me, and I keep thinking about customers when I think about presentations.
Uh-huh.
The issue is, to me, is my presentation about me and my product of the month and my schedule and my colors and all the features, or is it about what the customer, not even what they need, but what they want?
Well, and that's why, you know, we use the words, the difference between an advantage and a benefit. A lot of times we obsess on what we like about our particular product or idea, but we forget that the client had specific needs, specific language that they were using. And a lot of times in the presentations, what we're doing is we're trying to use, well, I consider them magic words, words like you said, you mentioned, you told us, because it ties them back. It even reminds them sometimes of why we're bringing the information information that we're bringing in. And we have another, usually we may have met one-on-one before we got to this presentation level. So we have a whole different group of people that don't really understand what the benefits are of what we're talking about.
Right. No, exactly. Also, you know, when you're making a presentation, should we think about the different people who are going to be in the meeting, what their stakes are in this presentation?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm not as quite as worried about that, believe it or not, because unlike a one-on-one conversation, this is my ball game. I'm going to involve them, but they may be speaking 10% of the time as opposed to 50% of the time.
But don't we need to know if for example, if we're making a presentation to say 8 or 10 people, mm-hmm. and it's a sales presentation,
yes.
and don't we need to know that the ultimate decision maker is going to be there, or that they're going to be there, some technical people there who are not going to make the decision, but who are going to need to sign off on this so that, you know, they're getting their part or whatever. Don't we need to know that? Don't we need to have some pieces of the pie for them?
Well, here's where, you know, you and I usually line up real well. I'm not going to line up with you quite as well, and that's what makes, I hope, it interesting when we have our conversation. On paper, that sounds real good. The reality is, we're not talking about a sales call. We're talking about a presentation. Now, this presentation may be to present a proposal, et cetera. So we can call it a sales call, but it's a completely different process. And believe it or not, for me, I need to know who's going to be in there. But a lot of times, I'm not calling them to action at the end of that presentation. I'm giving them an objective. I'm telling them what's expected of them. And I'd like to know, I obviously want to know my audience. But I can't shift the presentation to the right or the left based on where people are sitting or who's the DI, decision influencer, DM, decision maker, where they're located. It's my ball game, and I've got to deliver the presentation. One more thing, Jim. To me, the only thing that I've got to be careful of is that I don't let some of these people monopolize the presentation away from the rest of my audience.
I agree with that.
So one of the ideas we were talking about, tricks of the trade that I have that I like, is I call it a parking lot, but I'll put a sheet of paper up there with the words parking lot on it, because a lot of times that more dominant individual, the decision maker, who wants to appear to be the opinion leader and control the room I'm trying to control, will start asking questions that really aren't in sequence. They're not following my flow, and rather than me embarrassing
them. You're
saying
if they get ahead of you, for example, you sit down in the first 90 seconds, he says, look, how much is this going to cost me?
Exactly. And what I do is I talk about parking lots. And when we get back from this break, I'll finish this thought. But that's getting parked.
He's done this before, folks. He's already taken me out of into the commercials. Stand by. Rob Jolliss is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. We got more to come. I told you we'd get smarter when Rob joined us. Stay with us. You're not sitting. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rob Jolliss is our guest. We're rocking and rolling with him. He's the author of The Way of the Road Warrior and that brand-new book. Rob, tell us the title again.
Mental Agility, The Path to Persuasion.
I don't think I've got my copy of that.
I tell you, I sent you a copy of that one.
Well, maybe they just didn't bring it in. You know, I've got peeps here that take care of me, but maybe they forgot to put it right in here in front of me.
It has a picture of me juggling on the cover. You wouldn't forget it.
Okay. we'll have to find that one. And that's available out there wherever books are sold as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
What about, we're talking about this presentation thing. You had some other tips that you want to give us.
Yeah. Well, let's finish off one and grab a couple quick ones, because I know we're coming to the end of our half hour. I just want to remind people, A, you get hit with questions that from those dominant individuals much earlier than you want them. You can park them and just put, as long as you don't look at them and go, gee, we'll get to that later, that's not going to make anybody happy. But if you say, what we're going to do is this, this, and this, and I'm going to put it right here on the board to make sure we get it before we leave the room, that calms people down. We may want to
saying, are you saying, Rob, beforehand, I mean, almost out of the box, you say, okay, folks, here are the things we're going to talk about, and I know there are people in this room who want to get to this point. I promise I'm going to get there. Just work with me.
Absolutely. And Jim, you hit something else. What's the first 30 seconds, minute, 2 minutes that we're going with? We don't normally get cut off 10 seconds into the presentation.
Right.
So if we tell people not only what's in it for them to be there, but what we're going to talk about, how we're going to talk about it, what we expect out of them, then we've kind of calmed that down. So when that question comes up 4 minutes in, we can just remind them, yep, once again, as I had mentioned, we're going to go here, here, and here. But let me put that up on the board, make sure that we don't forget it. That's how you kind of weave in that parking lot.
I like the parking lot idea. That's a great idea. And, you know, it reminds me, what you were just saying, Rob, reminds me of something that hasn't changed in all these years. What they used to tell us, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That model's still appropriate. The only thing I'll add is while we're telling them what we're going to tell them what's in it for them while you're at
right.
it.
Absolutely.
And you'll be better off. All right, a couple more quick ideas. One that I have, and I could stack rank these, but watch your timing. You know, when you're given 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever, 15 minutes,
right.
whatever that number is, you stick to that number. That means you don't finish in 10 if they say 15 minutes, and you don't go 20. So if that's another reason why we park, because if we have a question that's really going to take 5 minutes to develop an answer, it's your clock that's running. And at the end of that time, you can't just speed up your language to get things in. You have to watch that timing from the beginning, middle, and end. It really puts a polish on a presentation.
You know, Rob, I've actually had some fun with that before. I've been given 20 minutes, for example, and somebody in the group would have something to say about the proposal. Say, okay, folks, I want to point out that I was given 20 minutes. Now we're on your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Or what I'll do sometimes is say, great question. I'm going to go my 20 minutes, and at the end, I'll hang up.
And you can have some fun with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, one last thing I encourage people to do. Normally we work on our beginning, and we got that fairly strong. We work on our close, but we don't work on our transitions. A lot of times we've got three or four major points we're developing, and you'll see amateur, maybe it's a bad word, but novice presenters bump from topic to topic. I would suggest that you actually write out your transitions so that you weave those different points together a little bit more carefully. Now you're starting strong, you're in control of your audience, you don't have too much information, you have nice smooth transitions, and you're finishing strongly, and that's a nice formula.
If you can't make the transition smoothly, it's very staccato, it's very jerky, and it does make you look like sophomoric, doesn't it?
I think so. And, you know, what we're talking about is I'd love to just make people a 20-year presenter, but a lot of times this is not their first dance, and it's a little bit tough. And so what I'm saying is if you do the things that we're talking about in this 30 minutes, the audience will have the impression, at least, that this person's very comfortable and does this on a regular basis, and that's what we're looking to do.
Don't memorize the components, folks. Practice the presentation. It's not five pieces. It's all one, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. What we've talked about in this 30 minutes is, we haven't really talked about the body of the presentation.
Right.
That you know. What we're trying to do is sell it up front, control it, give you nice transitions, and finish powerfully.
Just like you did. Rob, always a pleasure. Great job today. Thank you for some good information.
Been a pleasure.
Rob Jolles, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jolles, JOLLES.com. See you next time, Rob.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.